Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. Welcome to another edition of Food Farm Talk, where we celebrate food and honor those who champion the cause of food in society. Hello, welcome to another episode of Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. I am your regular host, Abdurrahim Abdullahi, and thank you very much for joining us for another exciting episode of Food Farm Talk, where we celebrate food and honor those who champion the cause of food in society. And as usual, today I'm here with a guest to talk about issues related to food and agriculture. And my guest today is Alan Abdelkader, who is a student here at the University of Guelph. But beyond being a student, he has a lot of experience working in the agriculture industry, working with farmers of various forms. Without taking much from him, I will give him the opportunity to introduce himself. So, Alan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'd like to thank you for having me. And yeah, so my name is Alan Abdelkader. I just completed my third year at the University of Guelph, and this September I'll be entering my fourth year. I am doing a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, and I'm going through the honors stream. So that's part of the OAC. It's under the umbrella of OAC. So yeah, I'm not from a farm. I was born and raised in Mississauga, Ontario, and moved to Guelph, you could say, about 8-9 years ago. And when I went to high school in Guelph, I went to school with fellow farm kids, if you will. And it was kind of through my experiences of high school, of working with family farmers and just people that also worked on farms, it kind of gained my interest and knowledge within agriculture. And come the end of high school, I decided to pursue an education in agriculture. So here we are.
That sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. So if I may add, you mentioned that you are not from a farm background, but yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you went into farming because of your experience with people, farm kids. What's exactly about them led you into farming? What did you admire about the farm kids?
It's pretty, how it started off was pretty simple. I was just, in grade 9, grade 10, I wasn't working, I didn't have any money, and I wanted, a part-time job, right? And it was one of those things where I'm very outdoorsy, I like fishing and hunting and stuff like that, and I can't really see myself on a Saturday being locked up in a McDonald's or a Tim Hortons serving people in a drive-thru. So it was one of those things where I saw an opportunity to work outside or with animals or with things like that, and it really kind of gained my interest. So to answer your question, really what I admired or what I liked the most was being outside. I like that element of being outside and working, and no two days are the exact same. Every single day is different.
Every single day is a unique day.
Right? It's a unique day. And just the culture and how friendly people are. I kind of, people are in the cities, always have their phones buried in their face. You can't really have a conversation with somebody on the bus. But as soon as you get into the countryside, you can talk to anybody really easily. People invite you over for dinner. You can go to bonfires and roast marshmallows and stuff like that after work. It was just a really unique kind of culture environment that was something that I just liked more than working at McDonald's, for example.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. And I usually like it when people highlight some of the values and some of the merits that agriculture provides that many other occupations cannot really provide them, like by their very nature, because people really don't appreciate what it entails to be a farmer. Mm-hmm. Unless you experience it, there's so much that agriculture provides to the human being beyond
There's a lot going on in the background that people don't know. That's correct.
Yeah, in the background. So you've mentioned how what actually interests you in agriculture and how it led you. If I may ask you to tell us a little bit about how your path has cycled from childhood of getting in contact with farm kids and developing interest in agriculture. What has been the journey so far from that time till now?
So my experience mainly when I was in high school and kind of towards the tail end of high school, it was more kind of animal related, right? So I would help dairy farmers do chores like within the barn and milking cows and things like that. I would work a lot with chickens and turkeys, collecting eggs and raising them when they're young all the way till they're at maturity to be shipped for meat and things like that. And I feel like between then and now, the biggest thing that's changed is kind of how more open-minded I am, because when I first came to Guelph, I really wanted like an animal related job. But when I came here, I realized how diverse and how big, even somebody that was in agriculture didn't really understand how big agriculture was, right? So I come to Guelph, realize how large it is, and it's one of those things where within the last 3 or 4 years, my experience or kind of interest has shifted more towards crops, if you will, so kind of like more on the agronomic side of corns and beans and wheat and things like that.
Sounds interesting. So right now you are a student here, yeah, obviously. You mentioned that at the beginning. So you study agricultural science. It might look very obvious that maybe the interest you develop might have led you to choose agricultural science. But can you tell us a little bit about what exactly motivated you to follow that path of not just helping farmers on their farms, but also studying agriculture?
So when I was back again in high school, I really wanted to be a doctor, but I understood quicker than other people that it's actually really hard to be a doctor. But it was one of those things that ever since I was at a young age, I always wanted to help people. Does that make sense? I always kind of like the one-on-one interaction, the face-to-face, helping people, trying to solve their problems, make their life easier, right? And it was one of those things where I just knew it within myself that it's just really hard to be a doctor. It's a lot of money, a lot of studying, a lot of years of school. It really seemed to be my thing. And within agriculture, even though you may not be a farmer per se, there's so many other jobs out there where it's almost as if you are a doctor, right? So there's so Absolutely. Many jobs in agriculture that you're helping a farmer with their problems, whether it's, you know, physical, mental, economical, you know, what's going on in their field, what's going on in their barn. There's so many other jobs that even though you might not have the DR in front of your name, you're performing a very similar task of being face to face with somebody and being a big part of their life and trying to help them accomplish their goals, right? So
I think that's a great answer, because like I mentioned earlier, agriculture has a lot of values that are more of like parallels to many occupations as well, despite its unique values in giving you something that many occupations, like for example being out in nature and interacting with animals and being so close to the land, these are very important things that we miss, especially those of us working more urban areas, like 9-to-5 jobs, right? So that being said, I would like you to tell us a little bit about like your current state. So you are still in the third year of your program, but I do know that from chatting with you earlier, you do other works outside normal schoolyard. So what other things do you do outside right now?
So we'll rewind the first year. At the end of first year, I picked up a research job within agriculture, and my main focus there was more on the crop protection side. So more looking at, you know, things like fungicides and herbicides and how they help farmers and the impacts of when we don't use these products and cases where we don't need to use them and in cases where we do need to use them, right? So first year I took a research job there, and that's where I really learned a lot of my knowledge, and that's where I really became open-minded towards the industry and what goes on in the background, as we mentioned earlier. And then this summer and last summer, I took a job as a sales associate with a larger crop protection company. And it's pretty much you're not exactly a doctor, but it's more what I kind of said earlier, that one-on-one, a grower, a farmer has an issue, he calls you, you two, you know, show up to the scene and you try to figure it out together.
Diagnose the issue.
Exactly. We're trying to, you know, problem solve, and we're trying to see what the best outcome is of whatever the situation is, right? And it's one of those things where I don't know what the situation is until my phone rings, and check it out and then see where we can go from there.
Okay. So I'm just going to draw you back a little bit, then we'll come back to your current work. So you as you worked with farm children and kind of developed the interest through that, how different has it been embedding yourself in the farm community? And I know that might have been prior to that, at a very young age, that you were not really in farming. But what difference do you see from yourself right now working in agriculture and even possibly people who are not working in agriculture? If you cannot recall back to a very young age, but you can recall, like, in comparison to others that you interact with who are currently.
People are kind in agriculture. There's this, you know, common misconception or stereotype that farmers are dumb and silly and they don't know what's going on and they have this, like, redneck persona, if you will. When I'd say it's probably the opposite. Some of the nicest kids in high school that I ever encountered, some of the, you know, people that never bullied you or picked on you or anything of that, were just so happened to be kids from rural areas and kids that just came from farms, right? So I think the biggest thing with me is that it's just a culture change. People are just way more friendlier, way more open. As I said, they invite you over for dinner. They let you stay over a night or two if you need to. Compared to some other industries, it's, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and you never see that person after work. You never see him before work. Compared to agriculture, it's more like the job never stops, right? This isn't a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. This is a 365 anytime, any day. You're bumping into these people, and it's a small world too.
Yes.
So it's going to be one of those things with, when I graduate with my class, it's very likely that somebody in that class will be my boss, or I will be somebody's boss, right?
Yeah.
Or somebody will be a customer of mine, or I will be a customer of theirs. So it's another thing too, where people are kind, and it's a very, very small world, very interconnected.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. And yeah, to hear people who are actually on the ground making testaments to some of these values and be able to talk to those unique things that farming provides. Because from my experiences, farming communities are very well tied up, socially bounded, and that sense of community and people sharing is usually good, maybe just with a few exceptions where people compete. But yeah, farmers are usually very good among themselves, trying to share knowledge, especially when it comes to learning new practices and trying to understand what current issues are. And talking about issues makes me to think about, you have some of the things that we currently face right now. You've been in the field for some time, and I'm definitely sure you might. There are just so many issues that are all over the place that you've come in contact with. What are some of the issues that are more or less like closer to your heart or closer to your work that you think need more attention?
The biggest issue that I find, and this is more agriculture in a whole, not maybe specifically to me, but almost specifically to everybody, is there's this stigma or fear in the air that, you know, the government and farmers are after you and they're trying to poison you or you're trying to kill you, and there's all these crazy YouTube video made by people without any credible knowledge or degree or anything behind them. Do you know what I mean? So I think the biggest challenge is we're being depicted as the bad guys when truly we're not. It's a very civilized, scientific, highly respected professional industry, and we all have the same goals in mind, and those goals are just, you know, wake up, work, go to bed, and, you know, feed people. I think a lot of people forget that we're not trying to poison you, or, you know, we're working with the government to poison the water or make something funky with your blood. Like, there's all these things that you hear, the farmers doing bad things, when, you know, you're forgetting that you eat 3 times a day. And it's one of those things, whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's like, no matter how much you bash on us or think negatively of us, it's, in the end, it's like, we're the ones feeding you, right? Like, there's this whole, I can go on and on and on, but there's this whole conspiracy theory, if we will, that we're trying to poison everybody when it's just not true. We're just ordinary people like everybody else, and we eat the exact same, you know, we're eating the exact same food. The stuff that comes out of my field, you're eating and I'm eating. So it's one of those things of like, how come you're magically dying but I'm not? Do you know what I mean?
Just not to cut you, I can remember, I relate to some of these things. I can remember chatting with a farmer at some point in time, and he virtually told me the same thing. If I am eating the same thing I'm feeding you, it has no logic in you thinking that I'm trying to kill myself.
Yeah.
It's not like I am growing something different for you. I mean, the public, and eating a different thing. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely relate to some of the issues you are talking about, which is really interesting. And I think it boils down to education and sensitization and trying to make the public know more about what is happening. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think common sense, people just forget all of a sudden when it comes to agriculture. I feel like if you have an open mind and you just use a little bit of common sense, you're there's answers to questions, and the questions become very, very simple, and the answers become even simpler, right? But again, there's just this thing in the air, I can't even describe it to you, where people are just scared. And as soon as they hear agriculture, as soon as they hear the name of a large crop protection company, they just throw everything out the door. They throw practical knowledge, they throw common sense out the window, and then they're just scared, right? So it's one of those things where if people can get past being scared or being feared of something that really doesn't exist, then I feel like the industry would be a much easier kind of place to work in, and there wouldn't be as much backlash in the media and things like that.
So as you mentioned of issues on backlash from the media, and like all those issues, and it reminds me of some of the issues that we have right now with GMCs, and like you mentioned earlier, people thinking that farmers are going to poison them and all these issues. What do you think are actually the root causes of this, and what can the agriculture industry do to really make people really understand some of the issues behind these challenges?
I think the biggest thing that the agriculture community may have made a mistake on was lack of communication. I feel like it was the duty of farmers or larger companies to kind of get ahead of these people that are full of nonsense to push whatever agenda that they have. I feel like we should have kind of came in earlier and communicated to the general public of, hey, this is what we're doing. We're very open about it. And this is why we do these things, right? Because now you have these hundreds of organizations that claim that GMOs are bad for you, or they poison you, or I can go on and on and on. And these aren't scientific people. These are people with no proof or no knowledge or no prior experience, right? And I feel like agriculture is playing a game of catch up where they've launched their thoughts and their negative, ideas out into the open, and people are starting to believe it. And we're playing catch up where it's only now that we're proving, hey, this isn't true. Hey, this isn't how things are. Hey, this is, totally misinterpreted or, stretched beyond the truth, right? I feel like we may have made the mistake of not communicating what we do before other people kind of came out and said what we did, right? We should have came out and expressed to people from start to finish what's going on before allowing other people to come in with no experience to push whatever agenda or ideology they want on the public, right? So I feel the big thing was and is communication.
I think that's a great answer, and I always tell people that communication is essential in everything we do, right? Because whatever, how much you do, or whatever good thing you do, if you're not able to communicate it very well to the people out there, people might have some misconceptions about these things. It may bring in some people might even be on the same side without knowing they're on the same side because of like miscommunication and people not understanding themselves, because we need communicate to be able to reach consensus and be able to drive towards solving some of the problems that we face right now in our food systems, which is great. And you've mentioned communication, which is something I always think that, and that's one of the things we are doing right here, right? On this radio show, we give opportunity for people who have like the opinions to come in, educates the general public, and like we are happy to have you here talking about some of these issues, because if we don't let people listen to that, we won't be able to get people to really appreciate the realities on the ground. So what I'm also interested is in how do young people like us together, everybody, what role, like you are a young guy who has been able to like rise up to that extent, like you'll be able to educate yourself about that, and there's definitely more we can do, especially at a time when we do know that a younger generation is becoming more detached from agriculture, which is why some of these things are happening, if my guess is right, because we only get our information from YouTube, and you go to YouTube and people feed you with all type of information,
right?
So what can we as young people do to be able to turn this, because yes, you mentioned that agriculture is now playing like a catch-up on in terms of the communication race, but how can the industry tackle it to be able to really like perform well in terms of catching up?
The two biggest things I'd say, and I don't know if the first one is actually very feasible or practical, is to try and educate kids at a young age in school, right? There's so many awesome courses that they teach you in school, like careers in civics, right? They teach you a little bit about how things work in Canada, about the law, They also teach you about career pathways, how to make a resume, things like that. There's a stat, and I'm not sure the exact numbers, I'm not sure this exact source, so don't quote me on this, but like some odd years ago, let's say maybe, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, almost 50% of the people in Canada were somehow or another working with food or agriculture.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, so I definitely will try to collaborate with you on that, because I did my master's thesis trying to understand the demographic decline in Canadian agriculture.
Right. So and I absolutely what's the number now? Like less than 1%?
Yeah, it's less than 1%.
So you have 99% of almost 40 million people that have no idea or some idea of how their food or agriculture works, right? That's a problem. That's, you know, a recipe for disaster. And this is why these things are happening, right? So it's one of those things where 50, 60 years ago, people weren't scared or worried about where their food came from, is because they worked, they went to work, and they knew exactly how their food came from, right? Now today, when, you know, less than 1% of 40 million people know what's going on, there's room for fear to kind of sneak in, right? And it's one of those things, is like fear is a great marketing tool. Absolutely. Because it's very easy to scare somebody than to make somebody believe you, right? There's, you know, some quotes like, I'd rather be scared than to be loved or whatever. I don't know, but like being scared is a great marketing tool.
Fear is
amazing. Fear makes a lot of money, right? And it's one of those things where when you have less than 1% of the population in tuned with what's going on in the background, there's something going on there. So it's one of those things, if they can teach it at a young age to school systems, that'd be great. If they do teach in schools, teach actual facts, teach stuff that you did in your master's or I did in my undergrad, or, you know, stuff that's come out of the University of Guelph or any other reliable institution within the world. Yeah, teach, you know, stuff about agriculture in school if possible. If not, then I think parents, instead of also being scared, they should try to teach their kids to let them think for themselves and not let anybody think for you. You know what I mean? When you turn on the news every day, don't believe every word that they say, right? Because the media is known for always exaggerating and pushing certain things and certain channels, right? So it's one of those things, if parents can communicate to their kids, hey, take a step back and think for a second. Think for yourself. Be more open-minded. Don't just listen to something for 30 seconds and be like, okay, that's okay, it. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Think for yourself. What happened to thinking, right? Those are probably the two things. If they can somehow bring it back into the school system, great. If not, then I think parents should do a better job of teaching them kids. And not just in agriculture, just in general, to, you know, think for yourself. Don't let others think for you.
Yeah, I think I like those 2 points very much, and they've been some of the recommendations and some of the things I've been advocating for a very long time, that if we want to like solve the demographic challenges in agriculture, and we want to let agriculture regain a central role in society, it all boils down to education, right? It all boils down to how we communicate agriculture to the general public. And because even there was a study that came out of OAC a few years back, that's for everyone graduates here. I can't really recall the exact number, but it's about four or five jobs waiting for the person. And there are so many opportunities in agriculture that people are not even aware of, which is kind of baffling, right? Because the people are complaining of not getting enough jobs, but there are jobs elsewhere. There's just so much opportunity that people can tap out from agriculture that we are not really being able to do so, at least not to just good satisfaction right now. So I like the idea of educating people, letting people to know the value in agriculture, letting people to know of the opportunities out there. But as we draw almost near to the end of the program, I wish we had so much time, because there's just so much we can talk about. And I really appreciate like your time, and I know that hopefully I'll be able to get hold of you at another time.
We'll do this again.
But just as we try to wrap up, are you, as somebody on the ground who has a lot of experience working with farmers and had a lot of experience working with industry as well, what do you think the farm community, let's go beyond education, what can the farm as a community do to actually recreate their value and reposition themselves as a central role in society again? I know this is a tough question, but absolutely, that what exactly can farmers do? Or let's just brainstorm about that.
So the question was what they can do to be a part of...
Yeah, to regain their central role in society again. Because farmers seem to be so much detached, right? Yeah, we know that, yeah, the society is shifting and people are detached from farm, right? But the farmers too seem to be somehow detached from the society.
So something that people need to keep in mind is that once in a while you go see a doctor, once in a while you go see a lawyer, every single day, three times a day, you see... in one way or another, a farmer. You might not see his face, you might not see his farm. You eat three times a day, whether you like it or not. Whether you're vegetarian, vegan, you're on a carnivore diet, keto diet, whether you're having beers at Frank's, you are in interaction with somebody in agriculture every single day. So I'd almost challenge you on saying that they are already in the center of society, and they have been for, you know, the last thousands of years. As soon as we dropped, you know, the bow and arrow, we've been the center of society.
Yeah.
I think, though, as I mentioned earlier, us as an agricultural community, you know, we should do a better job of communicating and being more open in the way that we describe our practices and what we do towards the public. But remember, it's, you know, it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. And having said that, urban areas, other people should be willing to what we say. We can't be open, have all this information ready to give you, and then you stick your fingers in your ears and say, blah, 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 I don't want to listen. Right? So anybody in farming is ready to describe to you what they do, and we're very kind people. We're not out to hurt you, and it's a two-way street. If you guys are willing to listen, then we'll talk and we'll show you and we'll bring you on farms and everything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take that as your last message, because it's a very powerful message.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my listeners will be very happy to end with that. Yeah, you are not out to hurt anyone. Everything I've taken out of the conversation is that the farm community is out to help. Nobody's out to hurt.
You know, there's going to be 9 billion people by the year 2050.
Yeah.
What are, you know, and who are the people faced with this problem at the forefront? It's people in agriculture, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You being scared or watching some fake YouTube video isn't going to feed 9 billion people in 2050.
Yeah. You need to get out to the food.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Alan, yeah, I absolutely happy having you on the show today.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure my listeners will as well be excited to, yeah, for what they have learned out of your show today. And I'm really happy. I'm really excited. And I'm happy to have people like you who are bold enough to tell us what we need to know, not just to give us information, but also educate us as well, and to allow people to know what exactly we need to know to be able to appreciate agriculture as it is. So thank you very much, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for listening to another episode of Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. So I've been speaking with Alan Abdelkader today on issues about his interest in agriculture and some of the broad issues that are facing the agriculture community today. And the take-home message is that the agriculture community is out here to help, and they are not really out here to hurt anyone. So get out, reach out to farmers out there, try to interact with them, try to understand their issues from their end as well. And at the end, there's only one thought that binds us together, the thought of food that we all think about every day. So have a nice day. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Food Farm Talk. See you next week for another exciting edition.